What's up, everyone? This is Joel Barsky with the Irie Chat Podcast. Our guest today is the Kiana Dancy. She's based out of Atlanta and plays different roles in the entertainment industry. She's also a comedian with a lot of knowledge that she was nice enough to drop on us. Listen to us talk about a book she's writing, different projects she's working on, and some relationship advice she was willing to share. So enjoy our Irie Chat as we say what's up to the Kiana Dancy. The Kiana Dancy, what's up? How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just chilling here in the quarantine life. I know you're, I think, in Atlanta, right?
So I am in Atlanta.
So how's the whole quarantine situation for you?
So, you know, for me, it's actually been very, very relaxing because I am not at home that often. So for me to have the opportunity to just stay at home and rest, it was a welcome change. Far as I'm concerned, outside is still closed to me and for my family, although, you know, the governor has opened the state. I'm okay being at home, and in my mind, we're going to be at home for a long time.
Well, you mentioned earlier that you had a show, so are you doing the live Instagram shows and doing stand-up live through social media?
Yes, I am doing live stream shows. It's called On Live with Kiana Dancy every day, Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And on Sundays, we have a segment called Celebration Sundays, where we focus mainly on, you know, gospel artists, preachers, ministers, and things that are people who are believers come on. And that's at 5 p.m. every Sunday. So, yes, I began to utilize being at home and, you know, the tools that I had and the resources, which were, you know, online platforms.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about your background. I know you originally moved to Atlanta at an early age, but then you moved to Houston where you actually started, from what I understand, you started your comedy career. So yes. What was so special about Atlanta that made you want to come back to build your comedy career there?
Funny that you will ask me that because Atlanta will always have a special place in my heart. I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio. I was born there, but I came to Atlanta when I was 9 years old. And I always say I'm a Georgia girl with a Texas heart. And what that means is, first of all, mama is in Georgia. So wherever mama is, it's always going to be home. I came back, you know, I've been all over the country. I lived in LA. I lived in New York. I lived in Houston, as you mentioned. And I love Houston so much. I dream about moving back to Houston, and eventually I will. But, you know, Atlanta is a place where, like, much like New York and much like Hollywood, you know, Hollywood has laid roots here. So this is a great place. If you're not going to be in New York or Hollywood, you can be here and build your career. So with mom being here and the new, you know, studios and everything here, you know, I figured why not come back to Atlanta. But I ended up in Atlanta specifically because I got cast on a project for Lifetime and I never looked back. Every time I tried to go back to LA, LA was like, girl, go back home.
I love Atlanta. I mean, I had Joel Byers on this show, which I know he had you on one of his episodes or early episodes, but he's always saying, like, you know, Atlanta, where it's at, like, really keep an eye out for Atlanta, especially for comedy. It's a lot of obviously great comedians that come out of Atlanta.
You know, Atlanta is such a diverse place, despite what people think. It's a great place for, you know, laying roots, starting a family. You know, even if you're not in the industry, it's a great place for you to have a career. So, yes, Atlanta is a place that you can just, I always refer to it as milk and honey. It's a place where, you know, it's overflowing with great opportunities, both for professional and personal.
Well, so I'm curious, since you built your comedy career in Atlanta, did you have anyone mentoring you as a comedian, or were you basically learning it on your own?
So, you know, it's funny. No one do anything alone. There's always someone who's, you know, you're either learning from afar, or you have someone that's literally in your life that can help you. Now, I did have, you know, I started my career in Houston, Texas, because the story behind that is really crazy, but I was in a long-term relationship. I broke up with my ex. We were together for forever. I was telling my girlfriends about the stories of our breakups, and they thought it was hilarious. So literally, they were laughing at my misery. But, you know, I took the stories to open mic, and, you know, people didn't throw tomatoes or apples at me. So I figured, hey, I might get to make some money from this. Yeah. And, you know, I started at a place called Laugh Stop in Houston, Texas. It was a fantastic opportunity for me there. And then, you know, I was just kind of playing with it. I didn't know what I was going to do with it because at the time I was working in corporate America. And I just so happened to win a contest. I won a contest. And this is after Monique actually told me that I should start doing stand-up because I was at her show and I was making people laugh in her line. Yeah. And she was like, girl, you are funny. You need to do stand-up. And I was like, girl, do I need to do stand-up? Okay. So I started doing stand-up after, and that with her encouragement, but also I won a contest to open up for Cat Williams. And opening for Cat Williams then, I didn't have nothing but 5 minutes. He paid me $1,000 to do 7 minutes. Now, I only had 5 minutes, but I was going to get my $1,000, which means I had a deficit of 2 minutes. But I was going to find that 2 minutes, and I did, honey. He gave me my $1,000, and I was like, thank you. But to answer your question, no, I didn't really have a mentor. There's definitely some people that I look up to, the Rodney Perrys, the Samores, you know, Laura Hayes. I look up to Adele Givens. I love Bernie Mac. I love George Carlin, Dave Chappelle. So I use a lot of those comedians as a, you know, an example of what I would like to be, but I also have to maintain who I am as far as my brand and, you know, and my voice.
Before this whole quarantine situation happened, did you have any shows coming up or tours planned?
Yes, I had plenty. And to be honest with you, I was on, when I first started hearing chatter about it, I was on the road. I was out with Martin Lawrence. So I was in Savannah doing Savannah, Georgia with Martin Lawrence. And there was discussion about going to other dates in other cities. So I was quite disappointed when I heard that, you know, they were shutting down the tour because of the COVID-19. Now, I am the house MC at the Atlanta Comedy Theater here in Atlanta, Georgia. So that also was affected where I was not able to continue that gig where, you know, that was a standing gig for me. If I'm in town, I can work there Thursday through Sunday. So yeah, a lot of my shows, my dates, my engagements were shut down. Oh, and I'm very disappointed because, you know, in this industry, this is how we eat. This is how we work. So if we're not touring, you know, baby can't eat as good. Eat as good.
Yeah. You have a really interesting background. I mean, besides doing stand-up, you have a hand in a lot of things. And I follow you on Instagram, and there's always postings of you with some big name people. I know, like, one of them was Trevor Noah that you were with. And some people that if I met, I would have been starstruck. So I'm just curious, because you work with a lot of big names. Is there anyone that you've met along the way that you've been starstruck for?
So, great question, actually. And the answer to that is no. And let me tell you why. One thing I realized that we're all the same. You know, we all do the same thing. We all breathe. We just have a little bit more means than others to do it with. Now, I will tell you, on my bucket list, yes, I have accomplished some things. Not starstruck, but I was like, oh my God, I am working with Martin Lawrence. Check! You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Oh my God, I did meet Noah. Check, you know, so it wasn't that it was so much of a, like a starstruck situation, but I definitely have bucket list people that I wanted to work with, and I've accomplished too. And interesting enough, when I was in Montreal, when I did the Montreal Comedy Festival, I actually was there doing the Kevin Hart stage on his LOL stage. And to this day, I can, you know, well, up until right before the quarantine, I had never met Kevin Hart. And it was one of those things, I had worked on his project. It was either I was just coming into the room and he was leaving, or he was coming into the room after I was leaving. Yeah. We had never, ever met. And just recently here in Atlanta, Georgia at Laughing Skull, I was actually able to witness him working on his new comedy album, his new comedy hour. And it was here in Atlanta, Georgia. And I was just like, wow, I've been in the room when you were, you know, coming out of the room and coming out of the room. He was coming in the room. But this is my first time actually seeing and meeting you in person, Kevin. And, you know, and it was awesome. But again, it wasn't a starstruck. It was just like, I did it.
All right. That's cool. Well, so another thing that you've dived into is actually being a novelist. So last year you came out with a book called Bye Bye Bags, Laughing to Lighten the Load. Do you want to share what that book is about?
Yes, I do. And actually, I released it and I pulled it back. And let me tell you why. This is what I realized about myself. Nothing is ever good enough for anything for me to drop that has my name on it. So I was so, you know, I'm always wondering, could it be better? Should it be better? What more can I do to it? So it's called Bye Bye Bags, Laughing to Lighten the Load. And what that means is we all as human beings have baggage that we carry. Mm-hmm. All of us, you know, some of us, myself included, I'm a child molestation survivor. Some of us have been violated in other ways. We've lost our jobs. We've lost friends. We have, you know, been disappointed on all levels. Maybe our parents have disappointed us, or we don't have parents for whatever reason who are active in our lives. So that baggage could prevent you from being one happy. Mm-hmm. Sane. It can prevent you from just doing anything that you feel like I can't do it because I don't have, or I don't want to do this because I have so much baggage, or, you know, it may interrupt with just being, just period, just being happy. Yeah. So, you know, for me, I use laughter to heal myself whole. And it was one of those things that I had to stop and look backwards at. So many of us hinder ourselves because we feel like we're not equipped, or we don't have, or we just can't do. And a lot of times that voice is in our head. Mm-hmm. And I just chose to be happy. I chose to not allow any of my personal baggage or any of my professional baggage to hold me back. And that is one thing that I would encourage anyone. I was a national syndicated talk show host on a TV show called Sister Circle Live. Mm-hmm. And on that show, I learned so many things. Many times people would have certain perceptions about you, whether they believe that you belong there, whether they believe that you don't, you know, you haven't worked hard enough to get there or whatever. But I will tell you this. And the reason I bring this up, like, that was a great opportunity for me, and I did lose it, and I thought that I was going to be there the entire time. Mm-hmm. But when I lost it, the only thing that I could do is just laugh. That's the only thing I could do, because if I cried anymore, I was going to cry myself dry. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I just had to make a decision that I'm not going to do anything. So I pulled the book off the market because there were so many things that was not complete in my mind in reference to that book. I wanted to add a chapter about losing what I thought was the last opportunity for me on national TV. Also, I wanted to add, just recently, I was thinking, oh my God, I should add, you know, this pandemic experience. So the book is almost, I'm like literally almost done. Okay. Like, it was done when I released it the first time. Now this time here, it's absolutely done. And I believe that there's probably another book in me. I don't know when, but but it certainly, there was a lot more that needed to be added to the book before I absolutely dropped it onto Amazon and into the book Barnes and Nobles.
How long did it take you to write this book?
Oh, Lord. You know, that book took about 2 years, and let me tell you why. Actually, longer than that. I started writing that book in 2016. And the reason it took so long, because I was in the process of healing myself, my emotional baggage and my physical baggage and my spiritual baggage. And what that means is I actually got the bags under my eyes removed. So it was a cosmetic surgery. So as I was laying in bed, allowing my eyes to heal from my surgery, I was, you know, I couldn't see anything. So the only thing I can do is fake. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The only mm-hmm. thing I can do is pray or think about what, you know, what I should be doing or what I could be doing. And as I was removing baggage from myself emotionally and spiritually, I was thinking to myself, like, wow, you know, as I'm letting my bags under my eyes heal, I might as well heal everything else. So, you know, I took the time to really just start forgiving myself the things that I was holding against myself and things that I was holding against other people. And so it took 4 years for it to really get to the point where I wanted, like, to now, mm-hmm. to the point where I was like, you know what? I'm done. So I started writing the book at the end of 2016, 2017. I really went hard with writing the book. 2018, I put it down a little bit because I was so busy with the show. 2019, I released it, pulled it back. And here we are in 2020. And I am ready to give it to y'all full in effect.
Awesome. Well, funny thing is, the other day I was driving around and I saw a business called CPR, which is cell phone repair. And I thought of you because I've heard it at other interviews that you're actually a franchise owner with your mother, and which is with CPR. So what got you too interested in doing that?
So, you know, it was actually my mom's idea. And while I was on Sister Circle Live, I wanted something else I wanted a place to put my money. You know, it's always good to have passive income, as we have all learned. If you haven't learned anything from this pandemic, you ought to know that you need another stream of income.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, my mom came up with this idea. She presented it to the family. My brother's also a partner, and he's very quiet. So we typically won't hear him. He usually says something when something's not right. Mm-hmm. So my mom, my brother, and I, we're all partners in this business. And I'll tell you, I have broken my phone. If you're anything like me, anybody that's listening, they have broken their phone multiple times. Yeah. And I got to the point where I was tired of breaking my phone and paying someone else to do it. And my mom also. So, you know, I have a Samsung. Don't judge me. I'm not an iPhone user. It would take about $200 to repair my screen. So my mom was at a point where she was looking for a way to, you know, create passive income and things of that nature. So she presented the CPR brand to us, because we looked at restaurants, we looked at all different kinds of businesses and realized that none of us like to cook. And then There's a lot of overhead and spoilage when it comes to restaurants. So, you know, it was weird. At the same time, all of our phones probably broken at the same time. Something was wrong with it. My screen or a home screen button or something was wrong with everybody's phone. Yeah. And my mom was like, hey, this is a great idea. Mm-hmm. CPR, cell phone repair. You know, it's really easy to get into the business now. As far as when I say easy, I mean, it didn't require $500,000 of, you know, liquid income or liquid, you know, dollars or whatever. But mm-hmm. It was certainly, they still scrubbed your background. They ran your credit and all that kind of stuff. So it was a little less challenging to get into the business, but it still has some, you know, red tape you had to go through. So to answer your question, we just decided that we were trying to find passive income. And why not? If you break your, we break our phones all the time. So I can only imagine how many times other people break their phone.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, it won't stop. Like
people. It won't.
People are always going to break their phone.
Right.
Well, it's something that's really impressive about you is that you're always marketing yourself. And you find different ways to, I guess, promote yourself with the book and the business and et cetera. So I understand that in college you actually studied marketing. So did you feel that being a marketing major really helped promote yourself and your brand?
So the answer to that question is yes. I have a business degree in marketing and from Georgia Southern University, which I'm very proud of. I'm an Eagle. And I will tell you, if I can't promote myself or my brand, you know, the degree is absolutely worthless. I used to work for Samsung. I worked for Sony. But the most important brand that I represent is mine, myself, mm-hmm. my family. And, you know, the thing is, you know, why would I pay for someone? And don't get me wrong. I definitely utilize other people. I've had a publicist. I had, you know, a brand manager. But it's more important to be able to market my own, because I know that the business, I'm able to kind of add on to what I'm paying somebody else if I pay somebody else to do it for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you really know how to like promote yourself. You're always looking very classy. And
Thank you.
Right now, especially on camera, you look gorgeous. You really know how to dress to impress. But yeah, I really noticed that about you.
And I appreciate it.
Yeah, and I mean, I've seen your stand-up before, and plenty of people can, you know, see your stand-up on YouTube. And one thing you talk about a lot is you give a lot of relationship advice during your stand-up. You mentioned about talking that a little bit, but so what made you really want to use that as a stand-up tool for, you know, stuff that you've experienced personally to start, I guess, giving to your audience?
Well, you know, it's funny. I don't consider myself an expert on anything. I just know a lot about a lot of things, right? Mm-hmm. So I always say, I can only tell you what I've been through. So, you know, when you're hearing me talk on stage, that is true.
Yes.
What I'm saying is true. I've either been through it or someone told me about it, but I absolutely do what I can to make sure that I am honest, so that when you hear me, you know, of course it's comedy, so some things can be a little exaggerated, but for the most part, it's all true. And like I said, I've been through it. I've been through broken relationships. I was with a man for 10 years who didn't marry me. I dated, and I'm still single. So I get it. I think women need to know, women and men alike need to know that at the end of the day, you know, we all have been through something, but you do not have to allow that to identify who you are. Mm-hmm. And just because, you know, whatever you've been through may have not turned out in your favor does not make you less than, you know, even if, you know, and even being a single woman, no matter how old you are, doesn't make you less than, doesn't make you less qualified, doesn't make you a bad person. You just haven't met your one. So, you know, I tend to just laugh at it. I tend to, you know, listen, if I can't laugh at what I've been through, you know, I definitely don't take myself that seriously. But if I can't laugh at it, I can't expect you to laugh at it.
And you're always providing great advice. I even like, whether in the interviews or even shows that you've hosted, like you're always providing, whether it's relationship advice or even just investing in yourself, you're always, you know, trying to provide advice for people to, you know, help better themselves. So do you have any, whether it's a relationship advice or maybe just advice for self-help for our listeners, is there any advice that you could provide for any of them?
So, you know, I love to always make the people, well, let the people know that at the end of the day, you know, right now, especially being at home, some of us alone without a quarantine bae, it's okay. You know, even though we're alone, we're all going through it together. I would say pick up the phone, get on, have a Zoom party. My girlfriends and I start doing Zoom parties, Zoom theme parties. We would dress up, you know, maybe it's a 70s night or new wig night or whatever. Yeah. We all did something different to really, really just kind of keep each other encouraged and stay, you know, connected, even though we weren't connected, excuse me, in the physical.
Mm-hmm.
So the goal is to just not, you know, even though we are disconnected, just not forget about each other, because we're strong, but even your strong friends need to be checked up on. You know what I'm saying? So I always tell my single friends specifically, make sure that even though you're single, you spend time taking care of you. Go, you know, when outside open up again, make a reservation to go, you know, make a reservation for you for two or three.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I say three, well, actually it's two, you and your handbag. Go to a nice restaurant that you typically wouldn't go to.
Yeah.
Why you want to do that? I will always encourage people to just spend some time with themselves. I know quite often what I've learned specifically is a lot of people don't like spending time alone. And you need to be alone sometimes with your own thoughts. You need to really get to know who you are so that when you do get in a relationship, you know exactly who you are and you won't lose yourself in that relationship. In addition to that, I think, you know, this is a great time to really figure out what it is that you want. You know, like if you want a new career, this is a great time to start it. If you want to write a book, this is a great time to start writing a book. You know, work out, pick up a hobby. If you're at home and get down, you know, start some Zoom classes, take some, you know, some extracurriculum, something to learn how to do something new. Improve who you are. You know, I learned, I took a Home Depot video class. I learned how to lay tile. You know what I mean? Just do something to improve who you are. Because just being pretty is one thing, but being pretty is only half of the battle, honey, because pretty fades. So we got to bring more to the table than just being pretty. But I would certainly say, find out who you are and the things that you love. And what, and then and find, you know, at the core of you, what you're willing to accept and what you don't want to accept, whether that's in relationship, professional, or personal.
So since this whole quarantine, you mentioned about doing some or learning home improvement skills. So have you been just focusing on learning a lot of that since this whole quarantine, or have you been learning other things as well?
Other things. I took a write a script. I've learned how to write a script class. I took a Home Depot lay tile class, you know, how to put on a new wig and lashes, all these things, just different things, you know. Even, you know, how to create an app class. Like, there's all these different things that I want to learn how to do. And then, you know, I had the time. This is the first time in life that the whole entire world was sat down at the same time in my life. And I don't hope to see it again. But it was a great opportunity to just, you know, rest, sleep till noon and nobody say anything about it because everybody slept till noon.
Yeah.
You know, start a business, create a new business plan, come up with a, you know, a new, you know, vision board. This is all the time to do all of that because the world stopped at the same time. Now, things are starting to wake up and open up again. But guess what? Even if you need more time, take the time you need.
Yeah, yeah. Now is the best time.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, another thing listed on your impressive resume is also being a show host. So I was thinking, and I definitely see it somewhere coming soon, is if you had your own talk show, what would you call it and what would it be about?
Wow. You know, I actually created a show called Night Parlor with Kiana Dancy. And it's a late night talk show where I sat and talked to, you know, some of my celebrity friends and hometown heroes. And it was just a real casual place. So the parlor room I don't know what your grandparents are like, but, you know, and I never met my grandmother, but my mom has a room. It's like the fancy room where the furniture is all white or cream. And then, you know, everything is always perfectly placed. There's, you don't stay in that room. You go in, you come out. But the parlor room for us is that room that you deliver good news and bad news. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's the place where, you know, it's the prettiest room in the house, you know. So the night parlor was just that. It was a place, was a pretty room. When you get in there, you had to pull up. You sit, your posture is better in the pretty room.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't touch anything. It may be plastic on the couch. I don't know. But the night parlor was a place where you can come and celebrate those, everything that's going on. So I have that show. Right now, my show on Instagram is called On Live with Kiana Dancy, where literally we're on live, the IG, talking to all my celebrity friends and even those who are not so celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
But still a great place to really just get to know April Ryan, who is a White House correspondent. Who would have knew she had a boo? I asked her. So do you have a man?
Yeah.
So I'm asking her questions that nobody else would ask her. And she was candid. She said, yes, I have a boo. And he didn't even know who I was.
Yeah.
So if I had a talk show, you know, there's a lot of different names floating around in my head. But right now, On Live with Kiana Dancy, which come on IG. And then The Night Parlor, which is another show that hopefully will get picked up. I shot the pilot. It looks amazing. And it's ready to go.
Awesome. I can't wait for that. Well, so after this quarantine finally resolves, can we expect any new projects from you?
Absolutely. So my plan with my book is to tour. I would love to do a lot of women empowerment, women engagement, you know, conventions. You know, and I don't know what that looks like, considering we now have to gather in different ways now. So I don't know if that is going to be a real thing, but I certainly will say this. I enjoy speaking to the masses and I enjoy entertaining the masses. So hopefully, you know, there will be an opportunity for me to do that again soon. But if not, you know, we'll do some Zoom parties. We'll do small book gatherings, small book readings, and, you know, book club chats, because I believe that my book is one that a lot of people can pull something from, whether it be a man or you're a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we all carry baggage. We just need to figure out how and if we're going to allow that baggage to hinder us. So definitely that. I'm working on a script, which is really interesting.
Mm.
I have a reality show that I'm pitching. I have another show that I'm pitching that's kind of a news-based show, but it's awesome because it talks about things that are going on in day to day. And, you know, so I have a lot of productions that I am pitching and hopefully they will see the light of day. But I actually also would love to go back out on the road with Martin Lawrence.
Oh, man. Yeah. I can't wait for a show. If you ever come to South Florida, I'll definitely come to that show.
Yay.
Well, you've obviously shared a lot of information about yourself and your impressive background for our listeners, I thought I'd ask you this question that's a recurring segment from our podcast called Name Your Bio. So if you were to have an autobiography on your life, what would it be called and why?
Ooh, wow. Oh my God, I don't know. You know, my mother always writes this. There's a sign right here. She says I talk too much. It's literally a sign that says shut up. so I probably would be, it probably would be Kiana Dancy shut up or Kiana Dancy don't shut up. Because, you know, I feel as though many times, you know, as a woman in this industry, we're often expected to just be seen and not heard.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things that need to be said, especially as a female, you know, entertainer. We are always fighting for our equal pay, our equal share, our equal opportunities. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not one that wants the man's job. I do not. I just want, if we do the same job, I want the same pay.
Yeah.
I don't want a man's struggle. I don't want his fight. I don't want anything that y'all go through. I don't want none of that. Only thing I want, listen, I don't want to pay the mortgage. If I had a husband, all I want to do is take care of inside the house. Honey, you take everything, you know, take care of everything outside of the house.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that if a woman is doing the same job, she is due the same pay. So I think my bio would be Kiana Don't Shut Up, because I would scream, shout, and holler, you know, for equal opportunities across the board for my sisters. And that's not to negate that I don't want you fellas to have it, but I'm just saying if we're doing the same thing, we deserve the same thing.
Kiana Don't Shut Up. I'll definitely buy that
Kiana
book.
Kiana Dancy, Don't Shut
Kiana
Up!
Kiana Dancy, Don't Shut Up. I'll buy that book when it comes out.
I got some things to say. Look, this is my mom's sign. She asked me because when I interview, she said, "You're talking too much."
Yeah. Oh man, that's funny. Well, Kiana, before we wrap, is there anything you want to share with our listeners?
Well, you know, the one thing I want your listeners to do, I need you guys to support me because Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the social media platforms are very important for entertainers these days. So, you know, when you go into a meeting, they oftentimes ask you how many followers you have. Mm-hmm. And as unimportant I think that is, I understand their position. I understand mm-hmm. the reason behind that. The industry believes the more followers you have, the more viewers, more supporters, and more tickets you can sell. But that's not always true. Mm-hmm. But I would like for your followers to follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. I am the same on everything. It's Kiana Dancy, K-I-A-N-A. Last name is D-A-N-C-I-E. I am literally the only Kiana Dancy on the planet with that last name, D-A-N-C-I-E, spelled that way. I want the people to follow me because I have a lot of amazing things happening and I would love for them to be part of my journey. Currently, they can see me on Netflix with Marlon Wayans in a movie called Sextuplets. Yeah. There's a lot of projects that's coming up with my name involved. So I would love for you guys just to follow my journey. My website is KianaDancy.com. I don't even know if people still really check our websites, but you know, I'm Kiana Dancy everywhere you go. Anywhere you're looking for me, I'm probably there. Kiana Dancy.
You're the Kiana Dancy. So
I'm the Kiana Dancy, the only one.
And everyone can definitely, there'll be hyperlinks in the show notes so people can just go down there and whatever they're using, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all your information will be on there. So they'll easily follow you and definitely do that too.
And I appreciate that because, you know, oftentimes people think it's not me speaking, but it's actually me talking to you. So you don't have to worry about it. I would never have anyone, no matter how big my account gets, I'm never going to have anyone run it. I will try my best to respond, and I do that currently.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This has been an amazing iRechat. I really appreciate all the advice you're giving to like our listeners and the information that you're sharing, and our listeners definitely should follow you. The Kiana Dancy, thank you so much for joining us in iRechat, and best of luck on everything.
Thank you. I appreciate you so much, and thank you for having me, okay?
All right. My pleasure.
Bye.
Our iRechat with the Kiana Dancy. Make sure to catch her stuff and follow her on all our socials. You may find more info in the show notes. Please rate our podcast and let us know what you think of it. I hope you stay safe under quarantine. To keep yourself occupied, go ahead and catch our other episodes. Thanks for listening to our iRechat, and I'll see you soon.